Welcome to Shrink Wrap, a podcast where Fran and Becky give proper respect to various mental health and wellness topics
while adding in a little bit of smart assery that they just can't seem to contain.
This podcast cannot and does not constitute therapy advice.
However, we do hope that you find the information we share with you helpful and entertaining.
Please be advised that this podcast discusses topics that can be sensitive to some listeners. Use appropriate discretion.
Everybody, welcome.
Welcome.
I love what we're talking about today.
You do?
Yeah, we're talking about obsessive compulsive disorder or OCD.
Yeah.
And it's right before the holidays. And when I think of Fran decorating her house for the holidays.
Oh, God. I know. If you're OCD and you know it, wash your hands. I do find a lot of joy in decorating that.
You know, do you know how I decorate?
How do you? Oh,
so like this year, my daughters came to me and said, hey, we want to decorate while you and dad are on vacation. Is that okay? And
I'm like, oh, yes.
That's beautiful. Actually, let me know if you go to Hobby Lobby or anywhere else and I will just transfer you some money. And I came home and it was all done.
Oh, but and I bet they did a beautiful job.
They did do a beautiful job. I think, though, if you came in and looked, you'd be like,
I would not.
You would. You'd be like, why is that there?
No, it does. Nothing about other people's environments bothers me, except my mother's, because there's shit everywhere.
Yeah.
But if as long as it's not like a hoarding or stuff is like on every surface, like my best friend lived like a couple miles away and her house was super relaxed and chill and there was shit everywhere, but not in a bad way, like just more relaxed. And my mom's house, like literally, you know, no fingerprints, no hair in the sink, nothing.
No face prints on the patio door.
No face prints on the doors. And so she would come to my house because it felt like, so organized and quiet and, you know, put together.
That's so funny.
And then I would go there and I'd feel so free.
Like you could breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting.
It was super cool. So hit it, Brody.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Frantastic Factoid.
According to UF Department of Psychiatry, OCD can start at any time from preschool age to adulthood, usually by age 40. On average, people with OCD see 3 to 4 doctors and spend over 9 years seeking treatment before they receive a correct diagnosis. Okay, Brody, what movie have you seen where the star has OCD?
Ooh, that's a good one. I didn't watch this. Well, I can't say really at all, but it wasn't Monk.
Oh, I think
he
did.
Oh, yeah, that was a TV show,
yep,
but yeah.
TV
that was
show.
A TV show.
I never watched it, but I think you're right.
And Rain Man wasn't OCD.
No.
So I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay. Remember Jack Nicholson and As Good As It Gets with Helen Hunt and Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. It's been a hot second since
He was diagnosed with OCD in the movie and he would not step on cracks in the sidewalk and he'd wear gloves and he didn't want anybody to touch him and he'd like wipe off doorknobs and all of that. So I thought that movie was fantastic and really accurately portraying not only like the symptoms of it, but like how it played into the relationship. Highly recommend it.
I think OCD is just fascinating. Obsessive compulsive disorder consists of repetitive, unwanted, intrusive thoughts. So those are the obsessions, and irrational, excessive urges to do certain actions. Those are the compulsions. And though people with OCD may know that their thoughts and behaviors don't make sense, they're often unable to stop them.
So symptoms do usually begin during childhood, the teenage years, or young adulthood. And males, interestingly enough, develop the symptoms sooner than females do. 1.2% of the adults in the population experience OCD each year. So it's not really a highly prevalent sort of thing.
How much have you seen in your practice?
I can't say they'd have the full diagnosis, but oftentimes I'll have somebody with anxiety and then they have OCD tendencies, but they may not have the full diagnosis. But like I just diagnosed a younger boy with it and boy, it was like, do you repeat phrases in your head? Do you go back and check things? Do things have to be as it was like bing, 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 bing. And when you see it, it absolutely is perfectly clear.
Like, well, yep.
And how it manifests is these people get super pissed off because the rules in their head are not being followed by everybody else. You should just know those rules. So when you violate the rule, then that person gets really angry about it.
Or they experience a lot of frustration because mm-hmm. it's hard when you can't get out of the house for 3.5 hours because mm-hmm. you're checking and checking and checking and checking.
Yeah.
Most people have occasional obsessive thoughts or compulsive behaviors. So we don't want listeners to think, oh, I've had unwanted thoughts, so I must have OCD. But with OCD, these last more than an hour each day, and they really do interfere with your day-to-day functioning. That's always the key phrase. Does mm-hmm. it interfere with your day-to-day functioning?
Right. And like you said, if it's taking you hours to get out of the house, mm-hmm. then yeah, that would mess with your functioning. We're going to skip this next one because we go into it later. So you just take it away, Becky Boo.
I'm here to take it away.
Do it.
Dr. Fran. To go a bit deeper, people with OCD know their obsessive thoughts are irrational, but they're scared that they just might be true. And it does seem like if you've, you know, when you listen to somebody with OCD, there could be just a tiny little grain of truth. And mm-hmm. so you can understand why they're going this way. And these are persistent and upsetting, and people really would just want to ignore or get rid of them. They don't want them.
No, nobody wants them. So let's give some examples mm-hmm. of obsessive thoughts. Like one would be thoughts about harming or having harmed someone.
I had a client with that.
Okay.
Doubts about having done something right or wrong, like turning off the stove, locking a door, unplugging the curling iron. Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
Unpleasant sexual images that keep repeating
so,
in your head.
Believe it or not, everybody's going to be shocked, but I have a story about this.
Okay.
I went to, it's not a personal story.
Darn
I
it.
Went to.
Jim sexted yeah. me the other day yeah. and I can't get it out of my
just
head.
Can't, and it's unpleasant, I tell you. No, I actually years ago got to attend a full day seminar by the person, and I'm trying to think of his name and I just can't right now, but he is the director of the International OCD Association. And it was a fascinating full day workshop. But he talked about, and he's from Chicago, and they had the place where he was working at in Chicago, it was an elderly woman. And when she would take a shower, she would see, like, she thought the shower head was Jesus Christ. Mm. And for whatever reason, that would prompt sexual thoughts.
Mm.
And which made her feel really dirty.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can't have sexual thoughts about Jesus Christ.
But you're in the shower.
So
it's all good.
So she wouldn't want to shower.
Oh.
So it was interfering with her personal hygiene.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was just so, and it just broke my heart. But she was able to get help and she was fine. But fears of, I don't have this one, fears of saying or shouting inappropriate things in public.
You know what?
That's just a given. It's not a fear. It's a given.
But I used to, like, when I would sit in church sometimes, I would just fantasize, like, saying something out loud that was inappropriate. Not, you know, just because I'm obnoxious, but it would just pop in my head. And so I'd be like, boy, this is annoying. I didn't act on it, but I'm just saying, okay.
Wait, these are good examples of you can have some of these things.
Right.
And it's not OCD. Well, yours is.
Well, mine is. Okay. But yeah. All right. Compulsions are the repetitive acts that temporarily relieve the stress brought on by the obsession. And we'll get into those.
We'll get into some of those. Yeah. People with OCD know these rituals don't make sense, but they feel that they have to do them. Again, compulsion to relieve the anxiety. And it really does relieve the anxiety temporarily. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, they think it prevents something bad from happening.
Right. So here's more examples of the compulsions or the behaviors people do to try to reduce the anxiety.
Hand washing due to fear of germs. And this, I mean, if you dealt with this to begin with, COVID wrecked you.
Yes.
I mean, I saw people who were red past their wrists because mm-hmm. they were washing with bleach.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't do that. But that's mm-hmm. where they were at.
You're
with
supposed
it.
To inject the bleach.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wash with soap.
Yeah. We learned that, didn't we?
Thanks for that helpful tip from Dr. Brody. Okay. Counting and recounting mm-hmm. money because a person can't be sure they added correctly.
Checking to see if the door is locked or the stove is off. And there are people who can't go to sleep.
Right.
Because they're getting up to double check the door, double check the door, double check the door.
Or being late to work because they have to drive back. Like they may mm-hmm. actually be a mile from home and then have to drive back and check to make sure the doors are locked.
Or I've heard of people with, when you turn the TV off, you have to do the remote in a certain sequence.
Yes.
Before you can hit the off button.
Mm-hmm. Mental compulsion. So in other words, the act is in your head can also include silently counting or repeating lucky phrases and mentally rewinding events and conversations. You know, think about that. How much time someone with a mental compulsion, you might have no idea what all they're doing in their head. Like a teacher, a really observant teacher told me that one of my clients kept like moving their lips in class after everything that she said. Mm-hmm. And so his compulsion was that he felt he had to repeat the last sentence of everything after a paragraph. And so she picked that up and shared that with me.
And you might think, oh, it's a mental compulsion. It's not that big of a deal. At least you can leave your house. But think about what you might miss or have to go over again because you were doing the mental compulsion. Mm-hmm. It'd be hard. So what causes OCD? No one knows for sure.
Sandra? I'm sorry. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. No one knows for sure. We're the shrinks. But researchers believe that activity in several portions of the brain is responsible. These areas may not respond normally to serotonin, a chemical that some nerve cells use to communicate with each other.
Genetics are important. If you, your parents, Sandra, or a sibling have OCD, there's about a 25% chance that another immediate family member will have it. And like I've mentioned before, my grandma had it, Nana had it, my mom had it, I have it, both my kids. I wouldn't say full on diagnosis, but definitely have symptoms of it. Traits, and it's so interesting how it manifests in different ways, entirely different ways. Like my Nana's house was immaculate. You could literally eat off the floor. There was nothing sitting around.
Wow.
My mom's house is clean, but there is something on every single surface everywhere. There is not one counter space inch of it that's free.
And what does it look like for you?
Like it feels like noise to me and it makes me feel frenetic. Like,
so you need to have, you're more like Nana, where you need to have no clutter anywhere.
Yeah.
That makes sense. A doctor or mental health care professional can diagnose OCD. A general physical with blood tests is recommended to make sure the symptoms are not caused by something else, such as illicit drugs, medications, another mental illness, or by a general medical condition.
And you had brought this up, Becky, in a previous podcast, that like with a child, if all of a sudden they are manifesting some symptoms of OCD, that you do need a medical evaluation because of a syndrome called PANDAS, P-A-N-D-A-S, pediatric autoimmune neuropsychiatric disorders associated with strep infection. Mm-hmm. Well, who the hell would ever think of that?
So again, I go to this seminar, however many years ago it was, right? And he tells me about this and I'm like, that's just fascinating. I shit you not, you guys, a month later, I have a mom bring me her 17-year-old son out of nowhere.
Wow.
Has these compulsions. Mm. The bed has to be made a certain way. Coasters have to be a certain way on the end table. He has to click and unclick his seatbelt a certain number of times before he can start the car, get out of the car. And, you know, because I had just been there, I'm like, has he had strep recently? Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, yeah, not that long ago. He had a really, really bad strep infection. And what happens is very rarely does the infection cross the blood-brain barrier with strep. But in PANDAS, it does. And I just had lunch the other day with a really good friend of mine. And one of his daughters, his young daughters, had recurrent strep as a young child. And he said it was like a light flipped one day. And we had our daughter one day and we had a totally different daughter the next day. And there was a lot of OCD that they had never seen before. Mm-hmm. And so they did, they're both very research minded. So they're researching the shit out of everything. They're ready, like they're ready to go wherever they need to go with her. If you're listening, there, believe it or not, there is a tiny little clinic in Iowa that specializes in PANDAS.
Really?
How crazy is that?
You know, now that you're talking about this, I swear to God, a light bulb just went off because all growing up, I had recurrent strep throat all the time. And my mom didn't believe in antibiotics. Thank God for Nana because she made me gargle whiskey. That was my treatment for it. And then I just sucked it up. So if I already had the predisposition and then I had strep 42 times. Maybe. So there it is.
So to be diagnosed with OCD, a person must have the following. And there's a little bit involved with this. So obsessions, compulsions, or both.
Obsessions or compulsions that are upsetting and cause difficulty with work, relationships, other parts of life, and typically last for at least an hour a day. And you know, the relationship piece is super important to this because like and I'm going to take ownership. Like my kids' stuff would disappear. I'm not kidding you. Like they had too much stuff. So I would just, if they hadn't touched it in what I thought was 8 months, it's gone. And I can't even tell you how many arguments there were. We're like,
I remember you telling me that Camille wasn't allowed to put up posters in her bedroom.
Yeah, that too. Like certain things. And then my kids would be like, we're such and such. And I'd be like, I don't know. And I oh, it's terrible. And I still struggle with that. If there is too much stuff. So yeah, relationships can take a hit on this.
Well, and it's just, again, one of those things that I know you knew and know wasn't necessarily 100% rational, but
right
there it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish you should have had to raise my children. When I went into Grace's room when she was in middle school, and I'm like, what is on the floor? She goes, I spilled paint.
Oh.
Carpet.
No.
Yeah, we had carpet. I said, where did you get paint?
Yeah.
Two, what were you doing with paint? She's like, oh, I couldn't sleep last night, so I thought I'd do art. Like, how about you read a damn book?
Well, how about that? With a can of paint? Or what the hell is she doing?
No, just like the little, like the little plastic thing. Yeah. But she had spilled it, and there was a great big splotch of...
I couldn't sleep, so I went down to Sherwin-Williams, got myself a pail of semi-gloss, and the damn thing tipped over.
We have so many books in this house, but no, you went straight... And then there was, if you go on our porch, you guys, our cement porch, there's splotches of color. Why? Because Allison was doing a chemistry assignment, like a chemistry experiment that different chemicals to see. And she's like, I think I'll just do them on the front porch.
Oh.
And literally it isn't even a stain because it's more than a stain because it's a chemical reaction.
Yeah. Right.
What?
Oh, wow. Oh. Good thing you're more laid back than I am.
I just have to go away in my head.
Yeah, that's all right. Hey, Becky, why is the Northern State University graduate program in counseling so awesome?
I could go on forever, but let's talk about the fact that you can get a clinical degree where you can work in private practice or an agency, where you can get a school counseling degree on the school track where you can work in a school as private school, parochial school, public school, any school you want to. And then my favorite.
What?
Forensic counseling.
Super cool. Yes. But is it K-CREP approved?
It is K-CREP approved. And you're like, what does that mean? You know what? It means that it has the gold standard of grad schools.
Super awesome. But can I afford it? Because I don't have a lot of money.
It's okay. If you go to northern.edu, you can apply for some scholarships. They have a couple of counseling specific scholarships in addition to some other really fantastic scholarships that a guidance counselor or a admissions counselor can help you with.
Awesome. Be Northern, unleash your potential, baby.
Oh! I was thinking to start there. Typical treatment plan will often include both psychotherapy and medications, and combined treatment is usually the best. What do we like? Prozac. Prozac seems to work the best.
Right. And a commonly used type of therapy is exposure and response prevention. It's considered the first choice of treatment for people with OCD, or called ERP, which sounds like a burp, but it's really not.
I love ERP a lot. It gradually exposes the person to situations or thoughts that trigger their obsessions. And then with the support of their therapist, they can then practice tolerating the anxiety while resisting the compulsions. Over time, the fear will go down and they'll have new tools to cope with intrusive thoughts and anxiety. And what I learned and what I do is you do that whole 1 to 10 scale, which everybody loves. So like one gentleman, the gentleman with PANDAS, he also couldn't stand when labels were the wrong way. So like right now, Fran's got a body armor bottle or a vitamin water, whatever it is, and the front label isn't facing me.
Mm-hmm.
That would have triggered his OCD and his anxiety. So we would turn it the wrong way. Where's your anxiety at? It is at a 9. I am so uncomfortable. And then we would do our breathing exercises and we would do the self-talk and all the things until it went in half. Where's your anxiety at now? It's at a 5. Okay. We're going to turn it the right way. Just to teach your brain that you can tolerate the anxiety. It's going to be okay. And it's just, when you see it work, I geek out about it because when you see it work, it's so powerful.
It really is. And it's just practice. You just have to practice. And time and time again, it really does prove to be effective. So this part I think was really interesting. I wanted to research like what are related conditions to OCD that share some of the characteristics that are a little bit different.
Well, and I think OCD is a spectrum. And so I think these various ones, like eating disorders, do fall on the OCD spectrum. I ate too much. I have to make myself throw up. I can't eat anything. If I, and if you've ever worked with somebody with anorexia, they do the, what do we call it? Food porn, where they're looking at recipes and cookbooks. And yeah. So one of these could be body dysmorphic disorder. And this disorder is characterized by an obsession with physical appearance. In some extreme cases, body dysmorphic disorder can lead to bodily injury, either due to infection because of skin picking, excessive exercise, or from having unnecessary surgical procedures to change one's appearance. The skin picking I've seen in practice.
I have seen it a lot.
And it's painful.
It is. It's and leaves scarring. But haven't you seen shows like these people, these, it's predominantly women that have like 14 facial surgeries and implants and all of this because of this disorder.
Or if you watch Botched, because then you can see the men too. It's, you know, you have to have the calf implants or whatever it might be. Yeah. And they're having 15, 20 surgeries in a year.
But I mean, when you're a plastic surgeon and you get the same person back like 15 times, like really? What's going on here?
I think all that, money in the bank, baby.
Well, there is. And I think, you know, and watch Botched. Those two just fascinate me on that show. But, you know, they might say, you know, I think you look just fine. Tell us more why you want to do this. What do you think this is going to do for you? But at the end of the day, what they say is, you know, we can either perform the surgery on them and we know that we're going to do a very good job. We're going to be ethical. We are the best in the business. But if we turn them away, they're just going to end, they're going to get it done. And so, are they going to go to a half-rate surgeon and have it done incorrectly?
I wonder what would happen if they say, we're going to refer you to a therapist. Come back in 6 months.
Kind of like with weight loss surgery. You almost always have to see a therapist when you have weight loss surgery. Yeah. That's interesting.
Hoarding disorder is another form, and this is defined by the drive to collect a large amount of useless, valueless items coupled with extreme distress at the idea of throwing anything away. This would be painful for me. Oh, man.
Trichotillomania. This is a fun one. This one always makes me giggle. So here's what it is. The compulsive urge to pull out and possibly eat your own hair, including eyelashes and eyebrows. And here's why I laugh. I had a friend in grad school who unfortunately didn't complete grad school, but she said, what if you took trichotillomania and targeted your armpit hair? Could you redirect it to a place where you don't want? And we were all, the instructor was like, no, that's not how this works.
Can you imagine if Brody ate his hair? Look at Brody.
But I would say trichotillomania is the compulsive urge to pull out. But I think the eating would go into pica then. Wouldn't you think that'd be a comorbid diagnosis?
It could be, for sure.
Pica eating stuff that you're not supposed to eat.
Okay.
I feel like I eat enough of my own hair on accident.
Yeah, exactly.
It is distressing. I'll give you that.
So a similar one is, I don't even know how to pronounce this, exoriation disorder, which is the compulsive urge to scratch or pick at your skin. And that's the one I talk about. That's painful.
All right. So there are four main types of OCD. In general, you can have symptoms that fall into more than one category or ones that are different than the four categories. So what's the first?
Contamination and washing. Washing. You just want to see yourself get contaminated.
Right. For sure.
You record it. No. Contamination and washing. You have obsessive thoughts about getting sick and spreading germs. Their compulsions are related to cleanliness. But way beyond the most typical ways people practice hygiene and clean. And this is the most common form of OCD. And I think it's the one most people think of.
Right.
Think of it.
Yeah. So for example, someone with contamination OCD is going to develop rituals that involve washing their hands so many times. And we've seen this. Hands can actually start bleeding.
We both know a psychiatrist
this.
He's not in the area anymore.
Yes, we do. And I used to threaten to lick his doorknob because he would wipe off the doorknobs. And handles. And so I'd go like pretend like I was going to lick it. It didn't go over well.
Why did he ever leave our area with you and I both making fun of him? That's so weird.
I have no idea.
Avoid touching everyday objects like doorknobs, especially if Fran has licked them. Or they might avoid using public restrooms, which, I mean, you can make fun of, but imagine if you're out in public and you really have to go, but your OCD is such that you're like, I can't.
Yeah.
That'd be terrible.
So besides dirt and germs, people with contamination OCD can develop fears about blood, spoiled food, bodily fluids, and broken glass.
There can be another one with doubt and double checking. People with OCD often lack confidence in their own memory and judgment. Doubt is a central element of every type of OCD.
So like we've talked about, these mm-hmm. types of people are going to double check, did I lock the door? Did I turn off the curling iron? All of that.
The feeling of incompleteness or the feeling of something not being just right is another trademark element of OCD. This feeling of incompleteness can drive them to repeat the task until it feels just right.
I've seen this like with kids in elementary school, like they will have to do an assignment where they draw a picture and they draw it and they erase and then they draw and they erase and then they make holes in their paper from erasing it too much and then they get mad and they crumple it all up and have to start over again. And it's painful to watch these poor little kids deal with this. Another type of OCD is the ordering and arranging. People with this type of OCD get fixated on order and symmetry. And Fran loves herself some symmetry. My house, you could cut my house in half from the outside of it and is perfectly symmetrical.
Wow.
I know. I just love it. People with this type of OCD can lose hours of their day by arranging the same objects over and over until they meet a certain standard. I do not do that. Thank you. But that I can see. Mm-hmm. I can see it.
Do you arrange your bookshelf in rainbow order?
Rainbow order? No, I do not.
Do you even have books?
Yeah, all over. But they go from biggest to smallest. They're in descending order of size.
And
yeah.
I didn't mean that, like, do you even read?
Yeah.
But I meant it more like that could also be clutter.
Right? Yeah, if they were just laying around. Yeah, for sure.
But How do you arrange your scrolls then?
Oh, man. I don't have scrolls
What do you do with those stone tablets? She just leaves them because they're so heavy.
They're dusty. They're super dusty.
So what are some examples of this, of compulsions that fall into this category?
So people will move the items a certain number of times. Like I'll have to put the book back on the shelf. I don't, but 8 times, mm-hmm. right? Or they may feel they have to tap the book in a certain order before they put it back.
Mm-hmm. Or counting or tapping anything. It can be, I knew somebody one time that had to put coins in a certain order. I'm kidding you not, before they did their laundry.
Really?
There's no correlation between mm-hmm. the two, but that's what they had to do.
At the laundromat?
No, at their house.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking laundromat.
Yeah,
okay.
No.
All right. Unacceptable or taboo thoughts. So people with this type of OCD have certain intrusive thoughts that stray far from their values, whether it's sexual, violent, or taboo in nature. Like I've had clients say, you know, I just have thoughts of murdering this person mm-hmm. and they know it's intrusive and they're not going to do it, but obviously troublesome.
There can be sexual orientation OCD, and these intrusive thoughts and obsessions revolve around the person's sexual orientation. They may constantly question their sexual attraction to others and may repeatedly look for ways to confirm their sexual orientation by asking others for reassurance about their thoughts. That's another one I've seen, usually in adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This one I actually wrote a podcast about, and it's mm-hmm. a whole separate one. I think it's fascinating. Relationship OCD, mm-hmm. where the doubt may lead a person to constantly question, am I with the right person? Or they're totally focusing on the person's flaws and nothing else but their flaws.
Mm-hmm. There can be harm OCD, and I've seen this with new moms. Someone with harm OCD worries about their capacity or will to harm others. And this fear can extend to hurting themselves, people they love, or even hurting a stranger. It may be accompanied by unwanted violent images or thoughts. And I had somebody who was just scared she was going to hurt her newborn.
Mm.
Not that she wanted to. She didn't want to hurt them, but she was like, but what if?
Right.
Yeah.
There is pedophilia OCD, mm-hmm. where there's fears of being attracted to children or sexually harming a child. So that's what the distressing thoughts obviously would be about.
This is a hard word for Becky.
Scrupulosity.
Thank you.
Love that word.
Say it one more time.
Scrupulosity.
OCD. This person who constantly monitors themselves for immoral or sinful behavior, thoughts, or feelings. These intrusive thoughts or obsessions they experience may be related to moral, ethical, or religious issues.
People with taboo obsessions may have less obvious compulsions. So in other words, they're not necessarily acting them out. They often perform other types of compulsions to reduce their anxiety, including
thought suppression or deliberately trying not to have a thought. I can't even see how that would work. I really don't. Don't think about an elephant. Don't think about an elephant.
Right? Yeah, that's all you're going to think about. And compulsive praying can be one of those.
A typical treatment plan will often include, again, both psychotherapy and medications.
So What are the references? Where do we get our info, Becky Boo?
Not just your brain?
Nope. Thank God.
J.R. Kugel. Perception and Memory and Ability of Confidence and Recollections and OCD Checking, Journal of Anxiety Disorders. And then we had Mr. or Mrs. Doran with the OCD newsletter. NAMI, the National Alliance Against or for Mental Illness, the International OCD Foundation, and the Cleveland Clinic.
We're the Shrinks.
And that's a wrap.